This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Acts chapter 20. When you have Acts 20, I ask that you will stand and then say amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7 starts off reading by saying, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." In other words, he preached a long time. Verse 8 said, "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." Want to look again at verse number 9. "And there sat in a window certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell from the third loft and was taken up dead." I want to talk from this subject tonight. I want to talk about I fell asleep in church. I fell asleep in church. Ask all of you tonight, just look at somebody next to you that may be going to sleep. Shake their hand and look them in the eye and say, "Neighbor, it's dangerous to fall asleep in church." You'll be surprised of places that people fall asleep. Some people fall asleep on their job. Kids fall asleep in school. There are some people who even fall asleep at a red light. Some people fall asleep in the movie theater. And believe it or not, there are some people who fall asleep at church. And what I come to share with you here tonight is that I'm a firm believer that there are some places you don't fall asleep. And church is one of those places where you cannot afford to fall asleep. Why do you say that, preacher? Well, I want you to understand when we come to church what it's all about. It's all about giving and receiving. When you say giving and receiving, first of all, we just said it while ago in the song, that when I come to church, I don't come to see who's here, who's not here. I don't come to impress anybody, but I come to give God the praise that is due to him. Let me try it again. When I come to the house of God, I come to give him the praise that is due to him. And please note, let it be known that when I give him the praise that is due to him, then it's not something that I just started when I got to the sanctuary. But yet a true praiser understand that what I do in the sanctuary is nothing but a reflection of what I've been doing all week long. But not only do I come to give him praise, but I also come to receive a word from the Lord. Listen, I don't know your reasons for coming to church, why you come inside the church building, but I realize, Pastor, that one of the most important reasons why we come together and why we come in the sanctuary is that we need to hear a word from the Lord. When you think about what you got going on in your life, on your job, with your family, in your marriage, with your children, I come to tell you, God can so fix it that a word is speaking right to your situation. I need a few witnesses in here that ever left home one way, but when you came to the house of God and you heard the man of God speaking, didn't it seem like they was right in your house? Didn't it seem like they was all up in your business? It's not that they know your business. It is that God is so awesome that God allowed a word to meet your situation in the sanctuary. I don't know about you. That's why when I come to church, I can't sit beside everybody. I can't let everything and everybody distract me because I need to hear a word from the Lord. I need about 24, I make 25, that have gotten to the point in your spiritual growth that you can just testify, I need to hear a word from the Lord. And I just come to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, I just got a made up mind. I can't afford to fall asleep in the house of God. I can't afford to fall asleep in church. But what I also realize, Sister Tillman, is this right here. People falling asleep in church is nothing new. For after all, when we look at our text tonight, Dr. Williams, we will discover that here is a young man that fell asleep in church. You know the story. For after all, when we read about this young man, his name is Eutychus. Please understand, his name Eutychus means fortunate, but we see something fortunate did not happen to him. It was unfortunate. What happened? Well, when you look at the Bible, please go with me here in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. The Bible says that here is the church, here is the people of God. Here it is. And the disciples, they come together on the first day of the week. Let me pause parenthetically right there. They gathered together on the first day of the week. This is their Sabbath. This is now they're going to worship God on the first day of the week. Now, can I just pause right here for a second? That's the same custom we have, the first day of the week, for we understand that Jesus died and he got up, what we call the first day of the week, Sunday morning. But I want to tell you, a lot of people really like to argue this point, whether it's Saturday or whether it's Sunday. Can I just be honest with you? I'm a firm believer that you don't have to get in no theological debate about what day of the week you gonna worship on. Can I talk to you? Because when you uphold one day, what end up happening is you will uphold one day and overlook the others. In other words, you will be holy on Sunday and hellish Monday through Saturday. Y'all ain't talking to me here. But I don't understand why some people get hung up on a day. Can I talk to you? Because what I realize, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. And something is wrong with a child of God if the only day you can recognize and worship him is on Sunday morning. The Bible says that here they are on the first day of the week. But here it is, when they gather together, when this church comes together, they don't come together in no place with stained glass windows, but yet they come to what we call a house. They're gathering in a house. And here it is, while they're in this house, please understand there are candles that are lit. Candles that are lit all over the house for lighting. And while the candles are lit, the Bible says Paul is preaching. Can't you see it tonight? And while Paul is preaching, I want you to understand, Paul has to get this message out. And the Bible says that Paul preached a long sermon.
Matter of fact, this sermon was so long, it was long. The Bible says that he went on and on and on, but it was something that Paul had to get across to the people. Can I tell you something? There are some messages, I believe, that may take a little longer than others. But this is the problem I got, Pastor Tillman. We live in a time now where you got folk that come to church and they want to tell the preacher, if it's not said in 20 minutes, it don't need to be said. Well, let me ask you a question. If you want to walk out in 20 minutes, the last football game you went to, did you leave in 20 minutes? The last movie that you saw, did you leave after 20 minutes? Y'all, I'm not talking to me. When you're watching Empower and Greenleaf, and after 20 minutes, do you cut it off? Shake your neighbor's hand and say, sometime it takes a little longer than 20 minutes. The Bible says that here Paul is preaching. And while Paul is preaching, here it is, my brothers and my sisters. There was a young man by the name of Eutychus who was sitting up in the window sill. And there he is listening to Paul preach. Now, here it is. Here's the problem right here. A lot of folk were down this man because he fell asleep in church. But I want to give him some credit tonight. And the first thing I want to give him credit for, even though, yes, he fell asleep in church and he shouldn't have fell asleep in church, but one thing I do give him credit for, at least this young man was in church. Y'all not talking to me here. I say at least he was in church. You know what the church is guilty of today? We so busy beating up on our young men. We so busy beating them down and talking about them soon as they come in the church. But God is looking for some people that can encourage our young men and even our young people to give them credit. First of all, at least he in church. Here is the problem. No, the Bible says that this young man is in church. And while he's in church, he's sitting there doing the best he can. And he's listening to this sermon. He's sitting in the windowsill. Can I tell you one reason why he fell asleep in church probably is the same reason why you got some folks sleeping in our church today. And when I say sleep in the church, they are disconnected. When I say they are disconnected, they are not engaged in the church like they should be. First of all, look where he's sitting. Are y'all listening to me? He's sitting in the window. Y'all not getting it here. He's really not engaged because he's sitting in the window. You want to know why a lot of folk come to our church Sunday after Sunday, but they not connected like they should be, and they not involved like they should be? You got a lot of folk, you see them sitting in the pew, but they really sitting in the window. What you mean by sitting in the window? That means when he's sitting in the window, part of him was in the church, but a part of him was out of the church. Y'all ain't hearing me. And the reason why a lot of people are not connected and engaged in the church like they should be, because they got one foot in the church and another foot in the world. But what I come to tell you, if you're going to be all that God wants you to be, if you're going to be all that God has called you to be, sometime you got to make up in your mind, I got to leave the worldly things alone. I need about 25 witnesses in here that know the only reason why you are who you are is because you had to let some things go, had to let some people go, had to let some relationships go in order to be who God wants you to be. Part of him was in church and part of him was outside the church. But then not only that, but here's another part too. You gotta be careful where you sit in church, but also who sits with you in church. Because here it is. Think about it. He's already sitting in a dangerous spot. Then he falls asleep, which means nobody was around him to shake him, to tell him, wake up. Y'all not talking to me here. You want to know what the problem is? The reason why we have so many tragedies in the church, because we are not sitting around the right people. And when I say sitting around the right people, I'm not just talking about in the pews on Sunday morning, but you need some people in your life that when they see you falling asleep, in other words, when they see you slipping, they know how to shake you and say, wake up. I need about 50 people in here that can look back over your life and thank God for some prayer partners. Thank God for some church members. Thank God for some friends that when they saw you falling asleep, they shook and told you to wake up. Somebody here ought to praise God for some people. Before you got too far, before you went in the wrong direction, before you connected with the wrong people, somebody shook you and told you to wake up. You ought to thank God for some folk that know how to shake you and tell you to wake up. But see, our problem is we live in a time we don't like nobody tell us anything. This young man is sitting in the windowsill. There he is. Nobody's there to shake him, to tell him to wake up. And he falls asleep. Can I say something? Now, you promise you won't get mad with me? Can I say something? It's my last night, but can I say something? Here it is. A lot of times we look at this young man for falling asleep in church. But Pastor, there's another side of me that believe not only did he fall asleep in church, but it could be the church put him to sleep. See, some of y'all mad with me already. I knew it was coming. Could it be that the church put him to sleep? I know you looking at me saying, what you mean the church put him to sleep? I'm glad you asked. Remember, I told you in my introduction that the house was lit with candles. That was their custom. That was their tradition, that you light these candles. And could it be because of the candles that were lit and because of their tradition, y'all getting mighty quiet in here, he had to deal with an atmosphere that he could not cope with. Can I tell you the reason why a lot of people fall out of the church is because churches are too busy creating an atmosphere that everybody can't handle. I wish you talk back to the preacher. We get so wrapped up in our tradition, in our customs. Can I be honest with you? What might have worked for you back in 1960 may not work for the young man in 2019. And I tell folk all the time, when you do ministry, you cannot create an atmosphere. Here, listen, I understand structure. I understand order. But whenever you so structured and so orderly that people can't get saved and they can't get delivered and they can't get set free, it's something wrong. And the reason why a lot of our young people are falling out the window is because you got churches trying to create an atmosphere. Listen, you got to understand that this church probably created an atmosphere that he could not cope with. Here it is. Watch this. The candles are lit. Probably put him in a deeper sleep. Could it be that folk are falling out? They already got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. And could it be that the atmosphere we create caused them to fall out of the window? Could have been the atmosphere. The church probably put him to sleep. I believe that there are some churches even putting folk to sleep right now. Why you say that, preacher? Because when I look in some churches, nobody is excited about Jesus. Nobody is excited about God. Come on, talk back to me here. You talking about how good God has been to you, and gospels is a great God, and you're supposed to have joy. But then yet, when we walk in some of these churches, soon as you get through the front door, you got a mean usher looking at you. Y'all ain't talking to me. Cry dead, praise seem dead. Nobody is lively. But I come to tell you, if God has been good to you, I say, if God has been good to you, you may not run, jump, and dance, but you ought to show some kind of sign that the Lord has been good to you. And the reason why the atmosphere is like that in some of our churches, y'all looking at me funny, it's all right. The reason why is because we never prepare for worship. We prepare for everything else. Prepare to go to work, prepare to go to school, prepare for a career. But nobody really prepares for worship. And that's why when you come inside church, because people are not prepared for worship, people got to sing you happy and preach you happy and pray you happy. You ought to get happy before you get up in here. I wish I had somebody in here that can say like the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Do y'all know what that means? In other words, he says, I got happy before I got here. Just the mere fact that they said, let's go, I got happy. Could be an atmosphere that he had to deal with. And if we're not careful, can't you see this church? They weren't paying attention to this young man sitting up in the window. Somebody should have said, go get that young man. But you know what? They were so busy with their customs. They were so busy with their worship. They were so busy with the service. Can I tell you something? If you're not careful, you can get to a point where you worship. Y'all missed it. Y'all hung the phone upon me. You can worship. What you mean worship? We got to make sure church start on time. Got to make sure we got everything together. Got to make sure we in our uniform. Got to make sure we dress like this. Got to make sure you wear this color right here. Y'all looking mighty Friday. And we so busy caught up in the worship service that we miss the people that's sitting in the window. Why are we in church arguing over our positions and titles? Why are we in church trying to see who's better than who? My question is, who gonna get Eutychus? They're sitting up in the window. Y'all was shouting last night. Y'all not shouting that. There he is, sitting up there in the window. Now here it is, he's trying to deal with an atmosphere he didn't even create. At least he's in church, but he can't get anything, maybe because of the atmosphere he's in. And Paul is preaching. And Eutychus, this brother, falls from the window to third floor. Boom! Ooh. Here it is. And the Bible says, when he fell from the window. This is what I like about it. The church started being the church. What do you mean the church started being the church? Because the Bible says Paul stopped preaching. They stopped the service to go see about this brother. Y'all ain't getting it here. They stopped everything they was doing to go see about the brother that fell from the window. Here it is right here. There are times in life while we're going to church, you got to learn how to be the church. You got to reach out to that brother, reach out to that sister that fell from the window. What I like about it, they went to Eutychus instead of going to the window. Dr. Williams ain't here, but they went to Eutychus instead of going to the window. See, here is the problem with the church today. Too many folk in the church are going to the window instead of going to the brother or sister that fell out the window. Let me tell you what it sounds like when you go to the window. Somebody falls out the window, boom. And you got church folk. Instead of going to the person that fell out the window, they go to the window saying, this is what it sounds like, had no business sitting up there no way. should have been down here with us. Can I tell you what it sounds like looking at the window? Looking at the windows like this, right? Well, you mean to tell me they lost their job again? You mean to tell me she's pregnant again? You mean to tell me he got locked up again? You mean to tell me they on drugs again? Y'all not getting it. And we're talking about everything that they've been through instead of going to that brother and that sister and ministry. When was the last time you went and got Eutychus? Quit looking at the window and deal with the one who fell out the window. They stopped having church to be the church. And what I like about Paul went out. Paul, a preacher, a man, anointed of God, went out there. And what I like about him, Reverend Tillman, is that he went out there and the Bible says that, guess what? He threw himself on Eutychus. Here it is. A brother that fell out the window into the street. This preacher did not mind getting contact with the brother in the street. Y'all not getting to hear. The brother that fell out the window, Paul, did not look at himself so holier than thou that he could not connect or touch the brother that fell out the window. Come here, let me talk to you. Don't ever get so holier than thou that you act like you can't hug the alcoholic, that you act like you can't put your arms around the drug addict. Because if the truth be known, behind your hallelujah and your amen, behind your suit and your hat, if the truth be known, all of us done fail out of some wind. I'm hard to hear it. He didn't mind dealing with this brother. And what I like about it is what all of us need to say. He says this right here. He says, look, there is life in him. Now watch this. The Bible says he fell dead. Paul says there's life in him. Now when you read and study it, there are some theologians that believe that he was not dead. He was just unconscious. That he wasn't dead. But I'm going to go with the fact that he was pronounced dead. The reason why I'm going to go with it is because Luke is writing this. And if you know anything about Luke was a physician. Luke was a doctor. And I think Luke ought to know when you're dead and unconscious. Can I talk to you? And there were some folks saying, no, he ain't dead. He's just unconscious. Can I tell you something? You got some people that will try to discredit your testimony. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know what you had to go through. But is there anybody in here that can testify? If you only knew the depth of my deliverance, if you only knew what I've been through, don't discredit my testimony. I used to be dead, but the Lord laid his hand on me. Paul says, I know y'all say he's dead, but there's life in him. I'm gone. You may be sitting in the pew tonight. And you may be really sitting in the window. Then there may be some of you in here tonight who done fell out the window. And everybody look at you, your family, everybody look at you and say, dead. True enough, here it is. Facts. Dead. Facts. Dead. But how many know that every now and then, as a child of God, you got to move from facts to truth. I wish I had about 15 of y'all in here that know the difference between facts and truth. Shake your neighbor hand and say, neighbor, do you know the difference between facts and truth? Okay, y'all ain't talking to me, so let me talk to you. Can I get a few witnesses in here? Somebody know about facts and truth. Facts facts may be you don't have a dime to your name. Facts may be your money is low. But the truth is God will supply all of your needs. Let me see, can I get some more witnesses in here? Facts may be they lying on you. They talking about you. They digging ditches for you. That's a fact. But the truth is no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Still ain't got no help in here. Facts may be they laid you off your job. Facts may be they laid you off. But the truth is never seen the righteous forsaken or seed beg for bread. I need about 10 more people in here that know the difference between facts and truth. I got one more thing for you. Facts may be you're tired and you're weary, but the truth is weeping may endure for a night, but I can't hear nobody, but joy will come in the morning. Is there anybody here that can look back over your life and just testify you can remember when you was up in a window and you fell out of the window and people said it was over for you, but the Lord came by and gave you another chance. I'm out of here, but I need some real testimonies. I need some real testimonies. I need some real testimonies that don't mind having a little church, that can lean over, shake somebody's hand. Listen, I don't need no fake testimony. I need a real testimony that can look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, my name used to be Eutychus. I remember when I was in the window saying, neighbor, I fell from the window. But one day, I heard the voice of Jesus say unto me, come unto me and rest. I found in him a resting place. Do I got a witness in here? Do I got a witness in here? Do I got a witness in here? If you fell from the window, I know somebody that'll pick you up, turn you around. If you fell from the window, I know somebody that won't leave you in the street. I know somebody that's able to save you. Is there anybody up in here that knows he's able to save you when you fall out the window? How you know, preacher, that he's able? Cause one Friday, Jesus went to Calvary to save a wreck like you and me. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. For me, he died. Y'all go help me preach it. Shake somebody's head and say, neighbor, they hung him high, stretched him wide. He hung his head. For me, he died. But how many know that ain't how the story ends? 3 days later, he rose again with all power. Anybody here know he got all power? If you know he got all power, you ought to act like he got all power. You ought to shout like He got all power. You ought to wave your hand like you know he got all power. Let me ask you a question. Will he make a way? Will he open doors? Will he see you through? I'm out of here. This is my last night. Thank you for having me. But before I go, I got one question I gotta ask everybody. I got one question I want everybody to answer. If you don't know the answer, don't say nothing. If you don't know the answer, keep your mouth closed. But if you know the answer, if you know what I'm talking about, I want you to holler. I want you to scream. I want you to shout. Can I ask the question? Can I ask the question? Can I ask the question? Here it is. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it?
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.